or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again, as Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this hour of the Hagman Hagman Report. I thought I had muted the mic or didn't mute the mic. I don't know what I was doing, but hence the double tone there. Want to mention portions of tonight's broadcast also brought to you by American Survival Wholesale. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com where they have GMO-free, freeze-dried long-term storable food. You can visit their website and all, and in fact, numerous specials today, including the Sons of Liberty Pack, GMO MSG gluten-free, plus a free camping tool there for $199. And of course, I like their different books. And of course, they've got a fantastic, and I mean a fantastic, pizza cooker. Boy, you know what? I'm not sure how well I'd do without pizza. Their 12-volt oven and pizza cooker, definitely something I like tremendous. I like pizza, and so when you're either in the woods or without any storable food, throw in a pizza. Always works for me. And of course, also tonight, I want to have Steve come on and mention this is important, folks. Listen, you saw Steve and Pastor Langford on the Jim Baker Show, and Gary Haven on the Jim Baker Show. I hope you did. I hope you caught that. It's on YouTube if you didn't catch it. Now, let me tell you something. There's going to be an event next month with Steve Quayle, Gary Haven, Pastor Langford. It's a revival. Steve, go ahead with this.
It needs to people, things have changed over the last week, and this is going to be your chance to hear Pastor Langford. He'll be preaching Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, and we'll have a baptism at Morningside. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting because we're going to have a two-hour panel with Gary Haven, with David Langford, Tom Horn, and myself. And Tom will be leading off the morning, Friday morning. I think I'm leading off Saturday morning. But every night you get to hear Pastor Langford preach the gospel. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, you may want to check with Voice of Evangelism and see, because obviously he was going to be one place and now I don't believe he's going to be there. But you need to call Jim Baker or send him an email. Their office there, it's an RSVP link on my website, because they don't have the seating. I don't even think they could seat 800 people. So, you know, it's filling up. And again, I think it's going to be different, Doug. This is going to be more revival oriented, and it's going to be more, how would I say this, an impartation of the Holy Ghost, but in a different way. You know, the thing that Pastor Langford and I have been brought together over was the Word of God. And when when, you know, people always argue, what makes you guys think you're right? We don't think we're right. We're just telling you what scriptures God has laid upon our heart. It's up to you to search them out. You know, again, everybody wants to complain about this or that or the other thing, but I ask them, I said, okay, I literally have one person in mind. You've complained for 20 years to me, you know, 20 years, and what have you done? How many people have you led to Jesus? How many people have you helped? How many naked people have you clothed? How many hungry mouths have you fed? And you know what their comment is? Well, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, ah, but you're wrong. The book of James says, show me your works, and I'll believe you have faith, but don't tell me you have faith and have no works. You cannot help but move and be motivated to help people. Now look, there's going to be fighting, and the tragedy is most of people of God, and I put myself in this category, are not prepared to deal with what's coming down. We think we got it figured out. I know because of the amount of prayer and intercession going into the baker's saying that God's going to move mightily. I know the intercessors behind the scenes are praying. So I believe this, that, you know, obviously, I made the statement, I mean it with all my heart. If I had access to somebody that could have flown me out every Sunday when David Langford was preaching, I would have gone there to listen to him, because I get blessed. I also get convicted. And I think that's the moving of the Holy Ghost to say, hey, Steve, this is wrong in your life. This is wrong. See, people always want to correct me, but they've got to understand God beats them to that, you know? And the scripture says if we judge ourselves, that word means discern, not sentence ourselves. And, you know, when you look in the mirror and you go, boy, Lord, I don't like what I see, or this flaw, or that trait, then God's free to work on you. So please, ladies and gentlemen, go on the JimBakerShow.com. If you can come, come, because it's going to be different. It's not going to be what you would normally associate Jim Baker's show as. It's going to be a totally different revival-style setting, and I think you're going to see a release of power. The Bible says that your young men will be willing in the day of thy power. It also basically says that God saves the best wine for last. And a lot of you have been on hold a lot of your lives waiting for the promise of God to come to pass. I don't know individual words for anybody. Some people call me and say, did God give you a word for me? No, because I don't even know you, and I will never confirm a word unless they've gotten it first, okay? Let's say Dave, you're going to have a meeting with a four-star general. God tells you that in the night, and then I call you and I say, Dave, I really had this dream, and you're going to have a meeting with a four-star general, and you have the meeting with a four-star general. That's a confirmation. That's not control. But when people try and control you, and here's a good example. Brother Quayle, I think you've been called to go to Tanganyika, which is now Tanzania. Well, obviously, I have a man down there who's a friend of mine, Eludi, who's been ministering for, I guess, 25, 30 years, and he's doing a remarkable job, and I'm obviously behind him, but God didn't call me there. I told Pastor Langford today, Dave, I said, the most dangerous thing for anybody to do is to walk into a ministry God hasn't called them to, and to think because that, and a good example, that's Henry Groover, one step adder or two step adder island in Japan called, Nabu or something like that. I'm sorry. And the deal is that the island was totally infested with snakes. God sent Henry and some believers. They went up the high places. They took dominion over the principality and control. And until they did that, the snakes were still there. God kept them from getting bit. And the deal is that there's no more snakes. God translates Henry to the streets of Rome. And there are two fallen angels, giant angels. And God sends them. And other men are praying around the world at the same time. And he gets translated. And he goes down into this labyrinth through a very elaborate old staircase, like something out of the Middle Ages. And the fallen angels look up at him and said, you shouldn't be here. And Henry gives him the word of the Lord. And then from heaven, giant chains come down and bind him. Most people say, I don't believe that. Of course, you don't believe anything. But then Henry goes to the serpent mound in, you know, the Midwest, and it almost kills him. You know why, Doug? He said it on your show. Because God didn't tell him to go. Remember when he had to crawl literally on his hands and knees back to his van and yep. shivered and almost died of exposure? So here's the bottom line. Anybody who wants to just go do something for Jesus, check your desire, because desire is an ability. When the Lord says, I want you to go here, he'll confirm through somebody else. But original, originating prophecy, words, etc., are suspect. God doesn't lead people that way. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed or established. And that's why, by the way, this applies to somebody tonight. This isn't just guess the word of knowledge, but, you know, it's an important thing to know, especially in getting into these times where what you think isn't enough, what you know is too insufficient. Your own strength won't pull it off. Your own mind can't outsmart or outthink the devil. So that's where we're at. Dave, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I agree. There's no running from the truth. And a lot of people in our culture right now are doing everything they can do to distract themselves so they can run from the truth of the inevitable that lies ahead. But at the end of the day, there's going to be two kinds of people. Those that have done what they needed to do to prepare, and I don't just mean food and water and guns and gold and so forth. I'm talking about spiritually. So there'll be those who are prepared for what's coming, and there'll be those that have no idea what's happening to them. And this is one of the things that really motivates me, because God has sent me a message very clearly several times. He's told me to back off some of the sophistication of my writing, to talk to the newer people who are in the movement now. He said, you need to explain things like Trump does in the simplest of terms, because they're not there. But he said, if we cast a wider net, we can save more people.
Well, that's Amen. A good word. But go ahead, Doug.
No, really, that's, I was just amening, you know, giving an amen to Dave Hodges, because it's interesting to me, these times are the very times that you spoke of, Dave, you spoke of, Steve, and 25 years ago. You might have been premature, but you were still accurate. I mean,
I think that goes to the word when I was praying about this. Look, nobody likes to be not light for 2.5 decades, okay? It just really isn't it. But Jesus said they hated you, they're going to hate me. They hated me, they're going to hate you. And Jesus said they hated me without a cause. The servant's no greater than the master. But what's fascinating, Doug, and again, really, I would say even astonishing is this statement. I didn't make it up. I was, again, I don't know if I was praying or complaining. I know my complaint changed to prayer, but here it is. And God said, look at the scripture, Steve. No word of God given by a man of God is ever received by the people of God at the time it's given. Jesus said it this way, which of the prophets have your fathers not killed? So the point is that, you know, religion will not allow its control to yield to the word of the Lord. That's why Paul said the traditions of men have made the word of God to none effect. That's why Jesus said, when you enter into one city, preach the gospel of the kingdom. If they don't receive it, shake the dust off your feet and go on to the next, you know? Well, most of us, and I'm in that category, want to just sit there and say, now you guys really don't know what you're doing here. No, that's not the right answer, okay? So what I'm saying by that is this. The safest place, the most anointed place, the most productive place, and the most fruitful place, the most determined place to be is where God puts you. And then you've got to maintain, you know, that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And the two things that absolutely maintain that are praise, and I'm not talking about musical praise. If you want to play a piano and worship the Lord, fine, or guitar or whatever, that's not what I'm saying. But praise and thanksgiving, okay? Thanksgiving establishes the supremacy of God. Complaining is giving heed to the enemy, and I know what it's like to complain. And again, you know, when you say, but Lord, look at all these people. And he said, what are you looking at the people for? Well, Lord, look at all these people. You know, but what are you looking at the people for? Did they die to save you? No. Did they fill you with their spirit? I said, no, but they'd like to. You know, the bottom line is that it's follow me. And that's the thing. And Doug, I want to share this tonight because I think it's really critical. As we're talking about heavy stuff, and Dave, I know that the Lord's probably tempered you down too. He has me, okay? Because it goes back to that statement. And Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? Now, Psalm 91, most people miss some really critical understanding on verses 14, 15, and 16. But I'm going to start out with Psalm 91 because everybody, you know, talks about that. And we'll talk about the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, that's the traps of the enemy, and from the noisome pestilence. That's what we're talking about, biological warfare, and all of the insects that come out of the book of Revelation. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Notice this too. Pestilence walks in darkness. It doesn't float around in a cloud. That makes me think that pestilence is a literal entity, just like death, hell, and the grave. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thy eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because, now here it is, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, God speaking. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And here it is, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I'd encourage everybody to start memorizing that, but speaking it out loud. Because as many times as I've read it and even quoted it, what really was provoked in my spirit really came upon me. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. When Jesus says to those who come to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do all these marvelous things? He'll say, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness. I never knew you. The best way to keep from ever coming into that point at some entrance point in your life is to set your love upon him, and that can be done with praise and thanksgiving. Not the vain repetition, but as I tell people, a great lesson in life is to take a notebook, yellow pad, whatever you write in a journal, and just start writing things that are absolutely mind-blowing at how God has delivered you, provided for you. At the time you felt there was no way out. I've been in those situations. Have you, Dave? Have you been in a situation? Yep, and Doug, have you been in a situation like that? Of course you have. And the answer is everybody has. But in that day, God arose and his enemies, God's enemies and your enemies are scattered. So as we come into the most perilous time in history, that's the word of the Lord. That's not me or Dave Hodges or Doug trying to be sensational, fear porn mongers or whatever. And by the way, those terms are specifically related to neuro-linguistic programming. And it is the way to disassociate reality from he who is speaking it. And Dave, you write about that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're at. The source of truth is Jesus Christ, not Fox News. The source of truth is the word of God, not the if you will, the CNN diatribe or the Democratic National Convention's platform or the Republican platform for that matter. When I heard the whole speech, I watched it, Donald Trump's speech. I thought his daughter did a beautiful job. I thought his sons did amazing jobs. But one of the things that obviously I know is that there are two factions, going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, that God is using Mr. Trump as a prosecuting attorney. Does it surprise you, Doug, and I'm turning it over to you, Dave, does it surprise you that with treason, with bribery, with scandal, with murder of a Supreme Court justice, with the cover-up even of an autopsy, no autopsy done, cremated almost instantly by the most powerful people in the world, does not all that tell you that there is no truth in America any longer? So, you know, here's where we're at. It's no longer, listen to Dave, listen to Steve, listen to Doug, listen to this guest, that guest, whoever. The point is that you've got to listen to the word of the Lord and that voice that'll say, this is the way, walk ye therefore in it. And that's where we're all coming to. We're all coming to the fact that, hey, we're in uncharted territory. We're not in non-declared prophetic territory. And you've got the amillennialists. You got the pan-millennialists. Those guys say, well, I believe it'll all pan out in the millennium. Or you got the pan-tribulationists. I said, just make sure when you're a pan-tribulationist, you don't end up in the frying pan like the French Revolution. So everybody wants to stake their position. But it's interesting still to me, it still blows my mind every time, that Jesus is the name that even the evangelical Christians, to a large extent, cannot or will not, mostly will not, bring themselves to confess Jesus is Lord. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's very well, that's the whole root of all of our problems. You know, you mentioned Fox News, and I want to take a moment to bring this out. This is something that's pretty obscure, but I also think it's pretty important. I'm sure the two of you are aware that Donald Trump met with Rupert Murdoch in June over in Scotland. Are you guys aware of that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and there was a phrase, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it now because I don't have it in front of me, but in Trump's acceptance speech, he talked about energy being unencumbered now and energy companies will be free to do what they need to do. One of the things that I learned back in 2008 was that there's the old money in the New World Order and there's the new money. And it's just like society. The nouveau riche, you know, versus the establishment, the blue bloods. And what's really interesting is I think Trump was saying, I think the deal that he made with Rupert Murdoch, and we're going to see Fox News really continue to be and grow in this role to be Trump's voice through the media, is I think Trump has guaranteed to Rupert Murdoch that he's going to open up North Shore Alaskan oil, which Murdoch wanted back in 2008, and this is why Sarah Palin was made the vice presidential candidate, and John McCain was on board with all this. And I just wanted to throw this out here because I think this is what we're seeing, a sea change. Now, the old guard, the Rockefellers and so forth, they don't want to see this. They want to continue to go over to the Middle East and throw billions at sheiks while their people live in absolute poverty for the right to take oil out of their country. But I've read cost analysis here. If we fully developed the North Shore and had pipelines coming into this country, we would be paying somewhere around 30 to 50 cents for a gallon of gas. But what do you guys know about a deal between Trump and Rupert Murdoch? Because certainly Fox has changed its tune towards Trump, haven't they?
Indeed they have.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
No, please.
No, you go ahead.
Well, no. There's the, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you've done this research, but to me, I believe that there is, just as the Clinton Foundation exists as this money laundering operation, it's not exclusive to the left or the progressives. I mean, it's there, but, so too on the right and even in private corporate money, as well, and I'm talking about specifically Trump as well, where money gets things done, whether it's on Wall Street or Hoboken, New Jersey, and this is what we're talking about. But no, please go on if you with the Fox/Trump deal. Go on.
Well, here's the the other issue, okay? I know nothing about Mr. Pence as vice president. I don't know anything. Now, I'm on record. I want everybody to hear this. I'm on record saying there is no political solution to a spiritual problem. But God is sovereign. If he wants to use Donald Trump, and I believe he is, to show the sin and folly of the government. By the way, isn't it interesting, Dave? The people that have never stood up for the Lord or have always been our critics will use, they'll use the B word, they'll gripe, they'll complain, they'll moan and groan, they'll slander, they'll do everything they can to those of us who are trying to say this. But you know what? At the end of the day, they've done nothing. Everybody's got an opinion and they're entitled to it. But what are they doing to change anything? I think the point being, and I believe this with all my heart, and I believe the scripture bears it out, that we're in a, if you will, just, and I don't know anything about sports, you guys, so I apologize to both of you, but I know in a football game you can have a timeout where the clock quits running, correct? But the game is still in play. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so is God not just, and the answer is of course he is, to declare a timeout, even in his countdown, due to the effectual prayer of the intercessors? Does that mean that that which God has declared will be the case of Mystery Babylon won't come to pass? I can tell you this, I believe something has to happen in order to prepare the people of God to go into what we're going to have to go into. What makes the people of God think that these monsters, which will do live vivisections on little human babies, will not do it on big people? What makes people think that somehow they can just turn a blind eye? You would not have abortion. Now, let me tell you why I'm, you know, obviously against abortion because of the 139th Psalm, but I'm also against it because, and I think this is critical, every one of those beautiful young men and women who have been slaughtered had a calling. If the 139th Psalm talks about more numerous than the sand of sea are God's thoughts towards each of us, and obviously only an infinite mind could make that statement through the psalmist, the thing that is incredible to me, what would they have become? Who would they have become? And what giftings did God put in their little hearts that they could have accomplished so much? But now you've got a bunch of parasites. You've got political parasites on the Potomac of self-indulgence. Political piranhas, I think, is what I really call them. You've got pictures of Ted Cruz getting off Air Force One, stating he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton. You've got the tantrum twins out there jumping up and down that they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, the bottom line is they won't even live up to their pledge. Jeb Bush, Kasich, Cruz, and Rubio. Now, Rubio may have endorsed him, but now you've got Paul Ryan being basically speculated upon that he may have been at one time in the running for Hillary's vice president. So, you know, listen, let me share this. Treason has no allegiance to the country that produced the circumstances in which the traitor betrayed his heritage. I could never say that again, so don't ask me to. But the point being is this is a season for treason, and every deal is a double-handed deal. Every devil, they said the devil's in the details. No more. The devil's out in front, blowing his whistle, heralding his name, mocking the Christians, and the Christians are silent because they don't want to offend the devil. He wants to kill you, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to rob you of everything that God wants to give you. So again, at the end of the day, it's seek God. It's seek God like we've never sought him, or we will perish. And again, Doug, I'd encourage anybody that wants to go to Jim Baker's taping and revival. It's more of a revival than a taping. I'm sure they'll film it, but it will be on the 18th, 19th, and 20th, obviously in Blue Eye, Missouri. You must give them an RSVP so they know how many seats. There's no registration fee, and I think you'll be blessed by it. Go ahead, Dave.
You can go to HagmanHagman.com. I just want to insert this in here. Go to HagmanHagman.com or HagmanReport.com. Click on the link. It says Revival. And, Steve, it's a one, I mean, obviously, very simply, register, please. Register, please. You don't want to get turned away because there's no place for you. So register, and it's free. And HagmanHagman.com, HagmanReport.com. Click on Revival. Thank you, Steve. Dave, go ahead, sir.
Well, one of the other things that I think people should focus on doing, and I've talked to this issue before, but it's time to bring it out in a very upfront manner, in that the church, the power of Christ has to be at the foundation of anything that we do collectively in terms of what we're doing, in terms of supporting Donald Trump, trying to prevent Hillary Clinton from going into the Oval Office, you know, whatever our goals are. But Christ has to be at the center of it, but it can't happen through our churches. Our churches should absolutely have, I mean, you've got Clinton, who is a known witch, and she should be being vilified from every pulpit in the land, and she's not. And I think that what we need to do is to form groups, study groups, Bible study groups, home study groups, and we need to leave our churches. And our churches right now need to collapse because they're not truly churches of Christ. They're public institutions that are controlled by DHS and the IRS and their regulations. And I would encourage people to look for ways to make that happen, because I vacillate on this. I like the community of a church, but I also recognize that as long as you have tax-exempt status over it and the government can tell you what to say, and if you're not hearing about the evils of abortion and you're not hearing about how bad Hillary Clinton is for the country, how anti-Christian the Democratic Party is, if you're not hearing that in your church, then you're not in a church of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. What else can be said? I mean, that's it.
That's it. That's it. And you know, here's the thing, Doug. It will never be a revival in a church, although there will be churches that will have revival. It will be in the highways and byways. People will be talking to people. God will say to you, Doug, go talk to him about me. He'll say, Dave, go talk to that couple about me. He'll say to Steve, go talk to that couple. We'll be talking. God is saying, I'm going out in the highways and byways. Those who are bidden to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, they were too busy. Now go out and compel the others to come in. And I'm telling you, Doug, it's so heartwarming to get emails from Australia, from New Zealand, okay, from the tip of Argentina, from Chile, from Russia, from Poland, from the Czech Republic, I think 63 different nations. I want to share something. Just so you know, we have had more people download the, stream on Vimeo, the new, the Unholy See DVD from around the world than we have yet in this country. And now we've got, literally thousands and thousands of DVDs to sell. The first order sold out in 3 hours. And from the feedback I'm getting, it's putting things into perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to look beyond Rome and the statements from the mouthpiece of Rome to see that we're talking about Revelation being fulfilled. And how is it that the gentleman from Rome will speak against Jesus, speak against everything, and basically embrace Islam, kissing the Quran? Well, you can't say that things haven't changed. So, please go on my website, stevepoyle.com, over on the right-hand side, order True Legends. The DVDs are in stock. The Blu-rays will be here at the end of this week. Or you can go on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, and download The Unholy See. And again, Doug, it's the people. South Africa is astonishing to me. There's a lot of people in South Africa that are absolutely rejoicing. So you guys, Dave, did you ever watch it yet with the link I sent you?
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, it's a fantastic video, folks.
And the reason
it is fantastic, and there are so many good works out there. It's just one of them. I mean, it's one really good one. but there's so much available for people, ignorance can no longer be an excuse.
Well, only willing ignorance, and it's not only an excuse, it's deadly. It's like the guy, Doug, I think I've said this on your show for however long we've been doing your show. I said, it's like the man who's put up against a wall. He's going to be shot by a firing squad. He's got a basic, you know, bandana over his eyes, and he's whistling a tune. He believes if he sings and closes his eyes, nothing bad will happen to him. I got news for you. His singing stops, he goes dead, and all his denial didn't keep him alive, did it? They used to say whistling past the graveyard. Well, this day and age, I don't even know of a better metaphor than that, but they're basically, I do know of a better one. They're clapping at the voices of those who will literally destroy their lives, promising people nothing but lies and having nothing in their own lives to ever show that they've lived up to anything they have said. There is nothing. And when, and Dave, you brought up, you know, the director of the FBI. I mean, what could he not have said that he didn't say about Crooked? And for the record, there are people in jail for just one email, or the poor guy that took a picture of inside a sub, I think it was during Fleet Week. So, you know, it's selective prosecution. I want everybody to take a deep breath, and you're going to have to ask the Lord if this is true or not. But what you think of the Constitution as it's still existing, it does only in the hearts and minds of men that understand the price that was paid for it and are willing to pay an equal price. Someone once said, I think it was Derek Prince, I listened to it last week, he made this statement, the reason why Islam flourishes is because Islam is willing, ready, and trying to make sure they die for what they believe. He said the reason why Christianity won't is the Christians won't even live as though the life of Jesus and the call of the cross and the gospel is worth living. So in essence, you know, silence is golden. But what I say, that may have been a song, but silence gets you dead. Somebody said, well, if I open my mouth, they'll know who I am. I said, good night. Do a surveillance study. They already know who you are. And you don't have to worry. You'll be one of the bus people. The bus people are the ones that'll pick up and bring you to a camp. And if you're low enough on the totem pole, you'll get reeducated. You'll get maybe a couple MREs a day. And then you will basically become part of the Borg. Once you become part of the Borg, unless there is a kinsman redeemer or the power of the Holy Ghost to break you free, you stay in the Borg. I do not know how God does it. He has specific people that he pulls out of the Borg, and they are to testify, and he uses them to testify, just like hell. People say, don't believe in hell. Jesus talked about it. You better believe in it. Go ahead, Dave. I think, where are we at? We've got another 18 minutes or something.
That's about, you're exactly right, sir.
Well, one of the things that I've really tried to be active about, and I talked about this at length on my show last night, and I opened the show by saying this, we are at a crossroads in history where these opportunities that have been graciously given to us to at least, if not stop what's happening, to at least push it back for a while, we won't have these opportunities much longer. They're going to be gone. This is a one-shot deal, and people need to act like their lives depend upon their being proactive in terms of bringing converts to understand what's really going on in the world, and not just being proactive for that, but also getting right with God, because there's going to be a lot of people in what's coming. I do think a civil war is in our future, and I mean it when I said at the beginning of the show that if the globalists had their way, one of the scenarios they'd love to have would be for Donald Trump to be dead in a year and for us to be in the middle of a civil war. There's going to be a lot of us who aren't going to make it to the other side. And I would suggest to people, you know, if you think that we're speaking the truth here tonight, you need to get right with God, need to do so right now, because this could unfold at any time. We could be in economic collapse tomorrow with a banking holiday the next day. We could be in martial law in a week. I'm not predicting that, but I'm just saying this is how fluid and how volatile the times are. There is no time like now to get down on your knees and ask for forgiveness and ask Jesus into your life.
Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, who's with me?
I'm here.
All right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was me. I'm sorry. My phone went dead, and I had to change phones. And sorry about the feedback.
All right. All right. We lost Steve. That's okay. We're gonna close.
We lost Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. It. He just sent me an email saying that. You can close. You can close. So, you can finish. That is. So it's all good. It's not a problem. All right.
I was an eighth inning setup guy. I was never much of a closer. But I'll do my best here.
Okay. You know, I'm not sure. I suspect that's a baseball metaphor, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. In fact, I'm going to apply that. For those of you that know and love baseball, my dad was a tremendous baseball player as a kid, and he bestowed some of that love to me, even though I went the basketball route. But I played baseball growing up. And I came to love the game. I mean, there's a purity of sports. Forget all the hype with pro sports and this and that. There are real life lessons, and so much I learned from my coaches. But there is a nice baseball metaphor that I like to apply to our present political situation, Doug. And in baseball, what you basically have now in pitching staffs is you have your starter. You try to get your starting pitcher to get you through seven innings. And then you bring in what they call your setup guy in the eighth inning, and he tries to hold down the fort. And then in the ninth inning, you bring in your closer, which is the guy that has one inning, unbelievable stuff. Couldn't do that for 7 to 9 innings, but he could do real well for one inning, and he's the closer. Now let's apply this baseball metaphor of relief pitching into our current political situation. I think, and this is just the world according to Hodges, but I think when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama back in 2008 disappeared at the Bilderberg meeting, and they disappeared together, I think that what they were told was this, is that Obama, you're going to be the eighth inning setup guy. You're going to bring in things like the NDAA and Obamacare and all the nefarious things. But Clinton, you're ruthless enough that you can be the closer. You can bring final victory to the New World Order. And this is how I see this. I see Clinton being much, much more of a threat than Obama ever could be. Doug, I don't know if you see it that way or not, but I look at Clinton as the ultimate satanic closer.
You know, I think Clinton could push through more than Obama could or did to this point. So I think you're right. Whereas Obama opened the doors for the Islamic interfaith quagmire that we're in, Clinton can take this home politically.
She's doing a job with the Muslims, too. I mean, look at her lover. Well, let's not. I mean, I can see the way they look at each other, and they're a couple. I mean, let's you know, and that's fine. Not here to bash anyone for their decisions. They'll stand before God the same as I will. But the bottom line is she is a Muslim advocate. She's attacked Trump for saying, how dare he use the word Muslim extremism, as we've had untold number of citizens now murdered by some of these animals. So, she said, too, that we're going to bring in 500% more Muslims under the refugee resettlement program that Obama has. So, yeah, but like I said, she's the closer. She's the one that will drive a stake into the heart of this country. And I will tell you, if you think any chance that Hillary Clinton could be the FEMA camp president, the president, if she's going to be that, I think people need to say, who are her targets going to be? See, it's one thing to go after, you know, Quayle, Hagman, and Hodges because we're outspoken critics of the evil, you know, establishment. But it's another to say, gee, why do they need all these FEMA camp facilities?
Right.
They're planning on incarcerating millions upon millions upon millions. Who are they going to go after? Because there aren't that many people, Doug, that do what you and I do that are out there in the open. Well, what they've done is they have monitored their communications, they've monitored their website, They record everything you say with an earshot of your phone. It all goes to a computer. It's all aggregated data. And then they come up with, okay, this guy's this much of a threat, and this guy's that much of a threat, and Steve talks about red, blue, and green list. There you go. There's your dividing line. So a lot of people who out here who think, well, I'm okay, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and there won't be any problem for me. Well, the fact that you're listening to this broadcast has become a problem for you. If you visit stevequayle.com or the Common Sense Show or the Hagman and Hagman Report, if you do that, you're on the list. And how many times you do that, how long you stay there, and what you read, what your conversations say, and what your emails say, that pushes you farther up the list. And what I'm saying to people is this, is that the day of saying, I'll just keep my mouth shut and I'll be okay, there's nowhere in this conflict today, physically or spiritually, that you can run to. You can't run, and you cannot hide.
You can't get that far off the grid. I mean, your buying habits are being tracked. We know that. Everything that you do is being monitored. Now people, the question that I get, Dave, a lot of times is, well, there's not enough manpower to monitor all of the people, all of this information. There's just not, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that there's enough manpower. How do you answer something like that?
First of all, people are showing their ignorance about artificial intelligence. They're showing their ignorance about how modern our computers are. This is all done, you know, by computers.
Yeah.
And only in the extreme cases do our names and our file end up on the desk of a human analyst. Now, that's a rare event. But you could be persecuted, and this is something that's come to me from my sources. There are going to be a lot of people in this country persecuted, and a human analyst has never even looked at their file. It's all been done electronically. I mean, what I was told, and this is probably outdated, Doug, but let's go back to 2000, and I think it was 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
What I was told was the NSA at that time was creating a matrix, and this really parallels Steve's red and blue list. And the matrix had 16 different dimensions on it that they categorized people under in terms of their threat to the emerging establishment. And then they had an overall total cumulative score. What we don't know, and this is what I was told, is that where are the cutoff points? You know, when do you become a red list member and when do you become a blue list member? But the fact is all of you are on a list.
Right.
And unlike Santa Claus or Santa Claus wishers, you're not going to be able to check that list twice because you're on the list. Trust me, it's just where do you fall on the list? And they want dumbed down sheep to survive, and they want to kill the rest of us. And let me just point out something else too. And I wrote, actually, I did a podcast on this, and the podcast was basically about Hillary Clinton is endorsing slave labor. Now that sounds like
folks,
an outbreak.
Dave, I just want to make sure, folks. Make sure you go to Dave's YouTube channel, or I'm sorry, your website for your podcast, what do you call them?
Yeah, we have them on YouTube, but we publish them all on thecommonsenseshow.com. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah,
but I wanted to talk about this point about Hillary Clinton. She's in favor of this bill that just passed the Senate that said that we're going to draft young women. And the Obama administration's already on the record of saying that they want to open combat opportunities to women. Well, they're not going to open opportunities. They're going to be cannon fodder the same way as our boys are. I mean, the draft is coming. I mean, as I like to say, close the window, here comes the draft, because it's coming, folks.
Yep.
The fact that they're going after the girls now means that they want complete control over everybody. You're a slave. Your life is not your own. And you go, oh, Dave, you're overreacting. It's just the draft. Really? Executive Order 13603, and this is in the article this morning, and you can go check it out on the website, where I talked about slave labor. And there's language they use in this executive order where they refer to people as consultants. Consultants are people that have an expertise in a particular area, and they'll be conscripted under the Secretary of Labor, and they can be sent anywhere to do any job that they deem fit. And they also go on to say, these people are unpaid consultants. Unpaid consultants, folks, when you're not doing it willingly, you're not volunteering your time, that's slave labor. The draft to go send your kids off to die in a banker's war so Heidi Cruz and her friends can make more money, okay, that's slave labor. And Hillary Clinton is in favor of drafting women. And obviously, this power-hungry so-and-so won't hesitate to use 13603. Hillary Clinton will usher in a form of slavery in this country. As I said earlier in my analogy, Obama is the eighth-inning setup guy, and Hillary Clinton will be the closer.
I just got an email, Dave, saying that that presupposes that Donald Trump will not make the will not get the presidency.
Well, I'm talking in terms of possibilities.
Okay, all right.
You know, sometimes people take things a little too literally. But I will say right now, the odds are stacked against Trump. He's got the entire media, minus Fox News, against him. He's got all the big money against him. He's got members of both political parties against him. And you're saying, why would a Republican ever vote against Donald Trump and not support him? Hello, they're called free trade agreements. Basically, we have been raped as a country and millions of jobs have been lost because our Congress has taken bribe money in the form of campaign contributions and sometimes worse to vote for and then look the other way to allow corporations to ship our jobs out of the country so they can pay pennies on the dollar for foreign labor and then bring those products back in duty-free, tax-free, while they make a mint. And we're sitting here holding our thumbs saying, gee, what happened to our jobs? I mean, if you want to look at what America is going to look like under four more years of the Communist Party that we call the Democrats, look at the city of Detroit. Detroit in 1968 had the highest standard of living in North America. 2 million people thriving, factory jobs great, protected by the unions, life was wonderful, and someone figured out, hey, we don't have to pay these guys $15 an hour with benefits and worry about the EPA and so forth and so on. We can go over to whatever Pacific Rim country, and we could pay pennies on the dollar and have them work in absolute squalor and dangerous conditions, and we can make all this money and still sell the cars for the same price that the Americans are willing to pay for it. Today, Detroit's gone from 2 million people to 700,000, and they're tearing down entire neighborhoods. Their water supply is a joke. You can't even go into the police station after hours. They have banker's hours. I've written about this. Most of your police stations now, you have to go, I think it's 9 to 5, if I remember correctly. So you call 911. I mean, people in Detroit, everybody in Detroit better own a gun. Because before you get police intervention there, they're going to get there in time to draw chalk around your cold, dead body. And this is Detroit. I hold this out as the example of what's coming to America under four more years of this communist dictatorship that we're living under. I mean, this is how critical this stuff is. You know, when you look at how to take down a nation as sophisticated and as complex and as vibrant and as rich as the United States was, you can't do it in one fashion, one way. One technique won't use. They are using everything, Doug. They are throwing everything they have at us, including the kitchen sink. You go, which is it, Dave? The Zika virus going to make a lot of our women infertile and have a lot of stillborn babies? And listen, it's everything. It's everything we've talked about, everything Steve's mentioned, everything I've mentioned, it's on the drawing board. They're hitting us with everything we've got. See, a lot of people who are new to the movement thinks it's a matter of all we got to do is get Trump into office and he'll straighten out a couple issues and it'll be life as normal and it'll be great. No. No, it's not going to be that easy. These people are never going to lay down. This is why, Doug, I hate to say this because I'm not violent. I'm not a violent person. But I don't see any way that we're getting out of this without physical violence, without a fight. Because if Trump wins and the rule of law actually starts to get a little traction, these people will do whatever they have to do. They'll nuke American cities. They'll release bioviruses. They'll try to start wars with their own provocative actions. I mean, we are in, as I said at the beginning of the show, we are in for a perpetual battle against evil for the rest of our lives.
And there it is. There is the essence of the program tonight. And your message, Dave, and I think that you've done a great job on your website in getting the word out. And you know, we've done it. You've taken us through, right through another program. Dave, I want to thank you so much for arranging or for recommending and getting this program tonight. I think a lot of good information went out. I think people have been enriched by it. Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. That's thecommonsenseshow.com. Make sure you
My pleasure, Doug. Be on with you and Steve. It's a great honor.
Oh, brother, until next time, may God bless you. And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right, brother. Take care. Folks, pay attention to what Dave Hodges had said and Steve Quayle had said. This ain't no game. Ain't no game. I mean, it's sorry for my English grammar. It's no game. Do me a favor. Hug your wife, your husband, your dog. Understand the time is late, the time is short, and we've got a lot of ground to cover before it's over. Folks, until tomorrow, Doug Hagman left the building. Have a good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.